Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Nicole Morey, and I'm so excited to be hosting Live the Life You've Imagined. Thank you for listening to learn how to reconnect with yourself, others, and nature to get back on purpose. Today, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Sarah Seidelman, life coach and shamanic healer. When I first came across Sarah's website, I found her message and her presentation so unique and compelling. And then I discovered that she lives in Duluth, Minnesota, my American neighbor, so I just knew we had to hear from her today. Thank you, Sarah, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Nicole. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear from you. But before we get into the topic of today's series, I would love if you could tell everyone a little bit more about yourself and your work.
Yes. Well, about 6 or 7 years ago, I found myself I was in my medical practice at that time and feeling kind of confused, like not sure that I felt a strong sense that I wasn't meant to be doing that work anymore. And I ended up hiring a coach, which helped me tremendously to sort of feel a lot better. I was sort of feeling miserable at the time. And eventually through coaching, I ended up taking a sabbatical. And I won't go into all the details of the sabbatical, but spending time in nature was a huge component of what sort of led me to my work now, which is I do healing, shamanic healing work with people, and a lot of nature connection to help people sort of find their way as they're lost like I once was several years ago. And so I'm really excited about this topic as I think what I discovered about myself is I was so starved for nature, and once I started sort of immersing myself in that world, a lot of the mud sort of cleared in my life, and I became kind of in touch with myself and what it was I wanted, and then sort of slowly stepping towards how to create that. So,
yeah. It's so fascinating to me to hear how, you know, a little bit about people's past and how that leads them to the work that they're doing today. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the theme in there fits in nicely with what we're talking about today. And so just to start out with, I'm just wondering your thoughts about how important it is for us as women to have dreams and a sense of purpose.
Oh, my gosh, I think it's so important. And I think as women, and if you're a mother, you've probably put aside many things in order to, you know, be a daughter, be a mother, be a friend. As women, we're often, you know, so compassionate with others and serving and helping and being collaborative that sometimes in that process, I know that's what happened to me, we sort of lose ourselves, and sometimes we can even get disconnected with our, you know, our dreams and not even, I mean, I came to a point where I was like, I'm not even sure what I want anymore. I don't even really know who I am anymore. And so I think it's so imperative to, you know, take some time, create some space to reconnect with yourself, because those dreams are there lying dormant if you're not sure what they are right now. And they will bubble to the surface with just a little, you know, making a little room for them to kind of come up. And I think no matter where you're at, whether you're a mother or not, I think of motherhood as, you know, often being something that can derail a lot of us from our dreams. I think that moms that are pursuing their dreams while, you know, simultaneously being a parent, you know, really tend to be happier moms, you know, and feeling this greater sense of purpose, and therefore, you know, modeling for their kids what it's like to go after your dreams. You know, I don't think it's an either or, like you have to be a mother and therefore you can't have your dreams. I think it's, you can have both. I think it's really important.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to what you've been saying there. And I dare say that, you know, when we're busy being so compassionate for other people, we're just, you know, moving along, life moving us along, that, you know, we may not even have realized that we've kind of lost our path or our dreams. And it just hits us like, you know, something's just a little bit off. And so, you know, definitely what you're saying rings true. And also you started to get into your kind of one idea about taking that time to just reflect on what our new dreams might be. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that, since it's so important to have, you know, desires. how do we even start remembering what those are in the first place?
Yeah, it's sort of like I recommend people just find a way to make time for themselves. It might be just a couple hours each week where you figure out how to carve out a little time for yourself to do very little or do something that is completely sort of has no purpose. So, you know, kind of almost playful. Julia Cameron, in one of her books, talks about taking yourself on an artist date, which I kind of like that idea where, you know, you maybe take yourself to an art supply store, or you go stumble around in the woods for a couple hours, or you go somewhere that you've been curious about, and it's not some dutiful place that you have to go, like the dry cleaners or the grocery store or, you know, whatever other place it is you have to go. It's a place you just want to go for some kind of fun, indulgent. It just draws you. It's calling your name, you know. And go spend time there, wherever it is, whether it be maybe it's a grassy hill, you know, in the park, or maybe it's a bookstore, or maybe it's an art gallery. Go there, spend some time, do that once a week, and see what happens to you when you just kind of start to open up a little space for that part of you to kind of play. And often it's really non-logical, and so it can be really strange. Like when I was on my sabbatical from medicine, it was hilarious. I mean, I went into this sort of New Age bookstore, and this book about animal totems, like, practically fell off the shelf into my hands. Mm-hmm. And as I looked at it, I was like, this is the craziest thing. I've never heard this, that a wild animal could possibly have a message for me. And being so scientific and left brain based at that time, I remember thinking, this is like a shocking idea. But for some reason, I bought the book, and I went home later to read it, and I mean, by the end of the night, I was just obsessed. I was like, this is the most fascinating thing I've ever read, and it sounds crazy. Like, who does this, you know? But as I started to play with the idea, some really interesting things started to happen. So even if it really sounds weird or strange, like maybe you're like, you saw a photograph of a roller derby person, like, skating around, and you're like, oh, my God, you know, I'm not in shape. This seems dangerous. This seems wrong. You know, I would just invite you to go check it out in a way that feels safe to you and just create some space to explore it, because it may be, well, I believe those kind of tugs are our soul trying to communicate with us and show us the way forward and show us, you know, what it is that's going to create, you know, pure joy for us when we're a place where maybe we're not feeling that joy much of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, just that playfulness and that fun. Like, who has time for fun these days? You know, I just love that advice. And just, again, I also love, you know, whatever you just happen to feel curious about, it may not be rational whatsoever, but there's a reason that you have an interest in it. And I just love how that book just popped out at you, because isn't that the way that it often happens?
Yes. Exactly, through magical and strange coincidences, funny things can happen.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear more about the work that you do, but I'm sure it'll come up in our next questions here. So now that we've, you know, taken some quiet time and some playful time to kind of remember what we're passionate about, what does our relationship with our own self have to do with starting to achieve some of these new goals and dreams that we have?
Well, I think one of the things that sort of has to happen is that, and this can be a process that takes some time, we kind of have to really sort of, I guess the best word I can think about it would be like sort of to fall in love with ourselves again and sort of completely accept all of ourselves. And what I find is that over time, you know, when we're little kids, we completely accept ourselves. You know, a typical 3 or 4-year-old is not self-critical and, you know, finds no fault in themselves and therefore is demanding, you know, like, and, you know, knows what they want and will, in fact, shout it at you, you know, periodically if they really want something. But, you know, as we go through school and high school and, you know, in college or where, you know, in our adult path, we often learn through interaction with others that certain parts of us, you know, other people find difficulty with, you know, or that other parts, you know, people you know, react to us, and we begin to feel or believe that something is wrong with us, or there are parts of us that are unacceptable, you know. And what I find is that the more we start to accept, for example, I'll give an example for myself. Part of my path was I got diagnosed with ADHD. And in that process, as an adult, by the way, in that process, mm-hmm. It was a painful sort of acknowledgement going, oh, okay, I see now why so many people have been irritated by me at times when I'm really, you know, wound up and energetic and doing a lot of things. But I also began to see, like, have compassion for myself and just see that that wasn't my high energy and my, you know, millions of ideas isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's absolutely like this beautiful gift, and, you know, that I have these special things to share. And so I began to kind of celebrate myself and laugh at the parts of me that were really different from some other people. For example, like when I cook in my kitchen, like, I mean, I fling every single cabinet door and drawer open, like everything is out. And it's like, you know, it looks like a tornado hit the kitchen when I'm cooking. But, you know, and eventually I clean that up. And, you know, other people cook in a very much more methodical, you know, with rules and, you know, they take out the flour and they measure it and they put it back. You know, everybody has their different style. But I began to accept and sort of celebrate the fact that my style is okay, too. And one of the ways that I did that was I began to connect, as I said earlier, with these animal totems. And one of the animals that came forward into my life, and if you're interested in playing with this with yourself, is just to notice what your favorite wild animal in the world is. If that's an easy question for you to answer, just look into a little bit how they behave, how they thrive, how they protect themselves, how they, you know, connect socially, and then play with those ideas. But one of the things elephants did for me is that when I was in South Africa, I got the chance to watch them in action, and elephants are pretty messy beings. Like when they want something, so when they're going after like marula fruit, for example, which is one of their like favorite food sources, I mean, it's just like a really delicious sweet fruit, they will like destroy trees, knock things down. I mean, they make a huge gigantic mess while they're doing this, but they get what they want in that process. And when I watch that, I realize, okay, like when I'm being really creative and I'm really on a hot track and enjoying myself making something, it's not always a neat process, you know? And that's okay. It's okay to be messy. And yes, I can clean it up at some point, but I can leave my desk a mess, for example, for a few days if I'm really working on a writing project. Or it's okay to make a mess while I'm cooking because people love my food and, you know, we have parties and it's wonderful and it's okay. Because I think there was a lot of shame for me in that, like, you know, good people, good women aren't messy in the kitchen, or, you know, there's all kinds of strange social rules we have. So I think, yeah, accepting deeply these parts of us that maybe we feel are flawed or that other people haven't accepted about us. Look for those characteristics in people that you admire, or look for an animal you love and see if you might find some deeper understanding of yourself, which sounds kind of strange, but try it, because I'm telling you, it can be quite magical.
I think it's fantastic. Like, speaking about having some fun again, you know, what a fun way to gain some insight on yourself, you know, looking to the animal.
Yes, I think that was it. It was very kind of, it felt very childlike and very free to kind of give myself permission to notice animals and which ones I liked. And it was just, yeah, like a delicious, playful, and strange kind of process.
Yeah, and what a neat way, too, I bet, to, you're kind of getting around your rational mind of how you're normally thinking about yourself, to gain some new insight that hasn't occurred to you. So that's fantastic. You know, and I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've just said, the whole idea of loving your whole self. And that can take time, because maybe it's been 40 years where you've, you know, been hard on yourself and certain features. You know, it's similar to, have you heard the metaphor of a family dinner, and all of the good, bad, and ugly parts of yourself are similar to the good, bad, and ugly family members that you have to a big family dinner. And the idea is that you know, despite their quirks and their gifts and their difficulties, the idea is to love everyone, to have that, you know, loving.
Yeah. Oh, I love
about
that.
Your own self. Yeah. So, and then you kind of led a little bit into the next question, is around our relationship with other people and the impact that those relationships have on our journey. You know, you've already, I'll let you go.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I often tell my clients is, you know, when you're undergoing a big change, maybe you've just gone through divorce, maybe somebody close to you has just died, maybe something terrible happened, you got fired, something's happened that so has upset your what you thought the world was like or you thought your life was going to be like so much that you're not sure what the heck is going on anymore. Kind of you're in chaos a little bit, or maybe a lot of it. When you're on that journey and you decide, I'm going to listen to a bunch of teleconferences, or I'm going to hire a life coach and I want my life to be different, buckle up your seatbelt, because your life is about to get amazing, because you've decided it's going to be different. And the other thing I like to tell people is to tell their loved ones, their close friends, hey, you know, I'm going through this process and I'm looking to change things in my life. And it doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't care about you. But I may be doing things differently, you know, from now on. And the reason that is because sometimes it can be scary to the people that we're really close to when we start to change and transform, because maybe they have a fear that comes up in them that, oh my gosh, if this person changes, they may find out that they don't love me anymore or they don't want to be around me. And so I like to have them sort of have a heads-up conversation with their loved ones and, you know, dear friends and family that, you know, the ones you feel like telling. Maybe there's somebody you're not, you know, maybe you're trying to minimize contact with. You don't have to have that conversation with everybody, but because it can really put them at ease, because it's a scary time for them, too. When we're changing, we're all so interconnected. It can be scary for them, too. What I do want to say is that once you've decided you want things to be different, the universe hears that and it immediately begins to offer you individuals, ideas, teleconferences, books fall off shelves, you run into people, things happen, and it's really just responding to your desire, you know, to shift things. Yeah, it's sort of like once you say yes to the hero's journey, all these amazing helpers show up. Like if you're a fan of the Hobbit movies, you know, Bilbo Baggins did not get the golden ring into the volcano alone. He had all these people helping him and creatures, you know, showing up at just the right time to help him. And that will happen for you too if you decide to say yes.
Yes, and you know, it strikes me too when you were talking about how you can share with your loved ones, the ones with whom you feel safe, that you are kind of going through a transition or you know, personal growth, that, you know, sometimes we can be worried that we ourselves are going to change and that they might not like that. So it goes both ways, you know.
Absolutely.
They might be worrying that you're going to change and vice versa. And
yeah.
So that's so great to be so open and transparent with those who you can be.
And I'll add, too, to that, just to piggyback on that, a real common concern for people who are kind of entering this world of coaching or just, you know, kind of looking at their life and is that somehow doing this work or spending time like this on your own or reading books or going to retreats or whatever it is, signing up for coaching, is that somehow this is selfish and that it will be a bad thing if we do this. And I just want to say, you know, I think that's a really common belief, but what I also share with people is that, you know, when we're willing to sort of fill up our own pitchers and, you know, that's really the only true way that we become able to share love, you know, with others, is that when we feel completely full, you know. And so it's ironically an investment in ourselves is sort of this ability that will spill out of us, you know, eventually will spill out of us and we'll, you know, bring that to other people as sort of a gift we return to them.
Absolutely. And then that brings us to our last question. This is going so quickly. You already alluded to how much you enjoy spending time in nature and outdoors. And how can we do that to enhance this path to our purpose and dreams?
Well, I think, you know, spending in nature is something that I do often because it helps me to feel good. When I feel good, I am happier. And when I'm happier, you know, I tend to make better, more optimistic decisions. I tend to treat everybody around me better. So that's just a simple reason, is that being out in nature is pretty much a universal vibrational vibe raiser. Okay, if you talk to 100 people, they will all tell you, you know, if they go to the beach or they go to the forest or they go to the park, they suddenly, without really knowing why, we feel better. So that's one reason to spend time out in nature. It'll just raise your vibration. And when your vibe is raised, a lot of good things can be drawn to you, you know, from that place. So that's one thing. The other neat thing I would invite listeners to try is, if you're feeling a little bit lost, maybe you have a big decision coming up or some situation that you really are just confused about what's the right thing to do or even how to proceed or improve the situation, is I like to invite people to go out and do a little forest bathing, which is sort of there's a Japanese term, shirin yoku, which means to bathe in the forest. Which is all sorts of fabulous scientific evidence now coming out that being out in nature actually makes us smarter, more resilient, more healthy, our immune system improves, all kinds of things. But you can go out, and what you do is before you set out, you know, set foot maybe on your neighborhood walk, or you're going to go to a park or a trail or the beach, whatever it is, and you set out with an intention, I want to get information about how to solve this problem or how to improve this relationship, or what, you know, what approach would be best for me. And you set that intention, and you just also set the intention that you're going to get helpful information on your walk. And then as you're walking, you just notice, you know, what, and at that point you want to open up sort of all your senses. What do you smell? What do you hear? What do you kind of sense or know as you're walking along? What do you see? And just notice what animals you observe. We can focus on animals. I mean, you can do this with just focusing on everything in nature, but it's kind of nice just to focus. And I'll just give a fun example from my life. When I was sort of in this tumultuous period and feeling very confused on my sabbatical, I went out and did this very exercise. And at the time, I was wanting to write a book, but my brain, I was just, every time I would sit down, it was just so confusing, and I would get really freaked out. And then I was like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. So one day, I went out on a walk, and I just sort of set the intention, you know, like, I need help. How can I write this book? I don't know how to do this. And the only creature that happened to cross my path that day, oddly enough, was this little black ant was just sort of crawling across the sidewalk in front of me. And I went home and I thought, geez, you know, couldn't you give me something more exciting, like a moose or something? You know, I was sort of disappointed. But then as I sat there asking myself, okay, how is this ant showing, what is the ant doing? And you can ask yourself, what is this creature, whatever it is that you run into, what is it doing? How is it behaving? And this little ant had like a little particle of sand, you know, or something that it was carrying. And I thought, okay, as I began to sit with it, it's like ants build these ginormous, compared to their size, you know, these huge castles of sand, these giant homes. And they don't do it alone. For one thing, they do it in groups. So there's a collaborative effort going on there. And the other thing is they don't do it all in once, you know, over, you know, in a day. It takes weeks, months. And it's sort of one grain at a time, you know. One person brings one grain over, and over time, slowly you build this giant pile. And so that day I thought, okay, what would it look for me to, you know, take a tiny grain of sand and move it over to the pile? And I just opened up a file on my computer, and I wrote down the names of all the possible chapters, you know, that I could think of that I wanted to write in this book, the ideas, you know. And that was the, sort of the first step in writing my first book. And, of course, there was a lot more work after that, but that one interaction really helped me to connect. And I also learned that, yeah, collaboration was going to be part of it. And later I called someone and got some help with how to, you know, form a little bit. So that is one idea, is to do a little forest bathing and see what beasties show up. And I thought, hey, we could end the call by doing it. We could do a sort of a collective sort of pretend forest bathing right now if you'd like.
Sure, go for
it. Are you up for that, Nicole?
Yeah, okay. I'm totally up for it. I love it.
So there's an app that I created in collaboration with one of my books called What the Walrus Knows, and there's a free version of the app which you can download at Apple, which is called What the Walrus Knows. And on there's a function called Divine. And so we can all just kind of write down a question, and the best kind of questions right now are ones that we don't know the answer to. You know, like, how can I build my business? How can I improve my relationship with my mother? How can I lose weight? Any of these, you know, just any question that you've got on your mind right now. And so you're going to write that down, and then you're going to set your intention that the beastie that we get out of the app is going to be one that helps you. So in this app, there are just, I think there's like 146 animals inside of the app, and each one has a few lines to sort of inspire you with their sort of particular brand of energy and to help you answer your questions. So if we're ready, I'm going to hit the ask button. And it makes a lot of fun noise, which you can mute if you have the app and you're at the office and you don't want people to know. Okay, so it makes some funny noises while it's waiting to deliver our results, and here's our result. So what we drew was the buffalo, and I'm going to read a few lines. There's just three lines, and as I'm reading these, just as you're listening, see if any of these lines sort of, you know, give you any inspired ideas for your issue that you asked about. So buffalo, choose champions, hang with worthy pals, benefits abound. So that's the first line. The second one is take up space, wander, find room to roam, remain unconfined. And then the third one is barrel on through, connect with your inner freight train. And I love buffalo because buffalo to me often is symbolic of abundance. You know, in North America, the buffalo was revered for, it fed people, you know, in indigenous cultures. And they used absolutely every single part of the buffalo just to honor its being and to celebrate the gifts that it offered. So to me, they always represent this abundance that really surrounds all of us. And sometimes we have to look for it, but by appreciating what we do have, you know, we often can build on that. So hopefully that provided some sort of inspiration to people with their questions and gave you a little idea of what this work is like.
Absolutely. So much fun. And, you know, just that your app totally works. It worked with my question. And,
awesome.
You know. So you know, this whole conversation with you, I can see why one of your tag lines is to follow your feel good. And, you know, that kind of brings us to the end of our talk where I'm often think, you know, it doesn't have to be like, what is my life's passion or my greatest dream? To me, living a great life is, you know, the whole purpose is to feel good and just to do that one next thing that feels really good to you, you know. It doesn't have to be this big, daunting task of figuring out my life's passion. And so I really appreciate that in everything that you've been sharing today. So thank you so much, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Yes. And before we go, I would love it if you could tell the listeners about how they can connect with you further or about anything else you wish to share with them.
Yes, well, you can find me at followyourfeelgood.com. And there, if you subscribe to my periodic newsletters, you can get a free download and a bunch of feel-good tips, but a free download for a shamanic journey to discover your sort of your lifetime beastie or the animal that is, you know, really the one you're meant to work with for your life. And that can be a really powerful thing to connect with. So I think, you know, I would invite everybody to check that out if it intrigues them. And I do a life coaching, and I also do shamanic healing, which is working with loving and compassionate spirits in a traditional shamanic way to help people feel better. So whether it's finding your way after something devastating has happened, or whether it's healing from something in the past that you know kind of is holding you back. I do that work, and I often do a combination. Sometimes we do, you know, 3 or 4 sessions of coaching and 2 of shamanic healing, because the shamanic healing can be a really neat, non-logical sort of way to find your way in the world, and it often has some pretty neat results. So again, it's followyourfeelgood.com, and I have 2 books, What the Walrus Knows and The App, which we already talked about, and my other book is called Born to Freak, a Salty Primer for Irrepressible Humans. So if you're, like me, a little irrepressible and maybe have been repressed for a while, it can be a fun book to sort of ignite your flame here as you move, stepping towards, you know, your more authentic life and a life that feels really good to you. So,
perfect. We'll all look forward to checking those out, Sarah, and I'll be sure to include the links for the listeners. So thanks again. It's been such a pleasure, Sarah. And thank you to everybody listening. We hope that we've inspired you to go confidently in the direction of your dreams and live the life you've imagined. Bye for now.
Thank you, Nicole.